This is Uprising. I'm Sonali Kohatkar. Did you know that Uprising is now a TV show as well as a radio show? We rely on subscribers to our YouTube channel to fund the TV production of Uprising, and you can sign up to be a subscriber at youtube.com/uprisingwithsonali. The tragic plane crash in the French Alps last week that killed 150 people is being treated with great sensitivity by authorities and the media. After all, the pilot was a troubled man with medical and psychological problems. He even had a doctor's note to call in sick but ignored it, locked his co-pilot out of the cockpit, and flew himself and more than 100 other innocent souls to their doom. But what if Andreas Lubitz had been Ahmed or Mohammed? What if his skin had been a hue other than white? We know now how the script would have unfolded and how the T word would have been expressed at the outset before any facts came to light. Of course, I'm referring to terrorist. And here in the US, the hypocrisy is just as appalling. In mid-March, a 63-year-old white man named Richard White, who is a Jehovah's Witness, attacked TSA officers at New Orleans Airport. And then 2 days later, a 67-year-old white man named Michael Sibley, based in Georgia, planted two bombs at a national park. The self-described patriot even planted a Quran with the bombs to make it look like a Muslim might have planted it. But there was so little news coverage of these two incidents that it's likely you would not have heard of them. What if the two men had been Muslim? We would have heard no end of the deadly specter of the homegrown terrorist. My guest is Dino Vidala. He is an award-winning comedian, co-director of the 2013 film The Muslims Are Coming. He writes regularly for CNN.com and The Daily Beast. Welcome to Uprising, Dean.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Now, what do you make of the news coverage of Andreas Lubitz? Have commentators humanized him? I've seen the words inner torment and depressed. I've even read that he was a gliding enthusiast and a former flight attendant, and he was unassuming and funny. And of course, we do need to see people's humanity, even that of criminals, but there seems to be a double standard.
There's no doubt there's a double standard. I don't think anybody objectively could deny there's a double standard if a Muslim commits a violent act versus a non-Muslim. If it's a Muslim, then the investigation ends with the determination of the person's faith, frankly. It becomes, well, they're a Muslim, and they did it because of Islam, and they find out why they were radicalized, who they associated with, that they went to a mosque, they implicate their friends and their neighbors or anyone else they spoke to. To non-Muslim, the first presumption is there's mental illness. We see this left and right. Obviously, with the co-pilot, Andre Lubitz, if he had been Muslim, the coverage would be completely different. But that's really understood. It's really the lesser issues and the fact that the media doesn't even cover, with even half the zeal, attacks, violent attacks in America, which are arguably terrorism by non-Muslims. And that's why I wrote articles about both those issues you mentioned for the Daily Beast last week.
Right. So let's talk about some of them. One was this New Orleans incident, a man who attacked the TSA officers at New Orleans Airport with a machete. This sounds similar to the 2013 shooting at LAX, LA International Airport, where another man, a white man, Paul Ciancia, attacked TSA officers with a gun. In that case, fatally shot a TSA officer named Gerardo Hernandez. There seems to be a pattern here of disturbed white men attacking TSA officers and airports. But of course, I doubt we'll see any racial profiling.
Well, you won't. We know you won't. You won't see any profiling. You won't even see any kind of statements that are broadly attacking the suspects and looking at some factors they might have in common because they're not Muslim. In the case of the TSA, if people Google simply stop the TSA, you will see page after page of conservatives and libertarians demonizing TSA officials. They are a target by the right and libertarians. Not saying they're advocating violence, but they are a target. And when you know that you gin up that hate of federal officers, and Paul Cinciano was actually charged with terrorism. 3 months later, after he was arrested, he was charged formally with terrorism.
Right.
They got almost no media coverage in America, the fact that a non-Muslim was charged with terrorism. This guy, Richard White, not only had a machete, that could be a crazy person. He not only had poison spray in his bag, he had six homemade bombs in his duffel bag. And in his car, the police found oxygen tank and acetone tanks, which if you Google those two, that's the simplest way to make a massive explosive. The man was going to commit an act of terrorism. There's no doubt about it. Was it infused or inspired by mental illness, or was it inspired by some kind of anti-government hate? You know, that's a decision that law enforcement have to make. I spoke to law enforcement in Jefferson County in Louisiana. He said, we'll never know because the guy's dead. That's the laziest police work I've ever heard in my entire life, because the suspect's dead, we stopped our investigation. And I asked the spokesman for the Jefferson County Sheriff's Office, "What did you look at what websites he had gone to? Had he frequented anti-government websites? What radicalized this man?" And they gave him this boilerplate answer, like, we've investigated everything and we don't see any connection to any organizations. They didn't say he wasn't radicalized. They didn't say he didn't visit anti-government websites. They just have stopped their investigation because it's uncomfortable to go further to say that Americans, our fellow Americans, are killing us or being terrorists. That's okay if the terrorist is a brown person from outside of the country or an American who's Muslim, because some American Muslims are foreigners, so they have no problem demonizing us.
And actually, I want to just clarify real quick. I did say that Richard White was a white man. He is now dead. In photographs, he appears to be African-American.
It does seem to be African-American.
But it's not
His race
clear.
Wasn't mentioned. It's not relevant to the attack. It really wasn't
He's
mentioned
He's not Muslim.
Anywhere. That's the only, that's really the, you know, that's the investigation. There was a shooting in Canada, in Ottawa, and the investigators, the reporters in Canada and in America were so different. They're journalists, and I wrote about it. In Canada, the attacker was Muslim, but they didn't stop there. They looked at his mental illness. They looked at the fact that he was alienated from his family. He had almost psychotic episodes. He had been homeless, living in shelters. We didn't hear any of that in the American media. The minute they found out the shooter in Ottawa was a Muslim, that ended the discussion. I feel bad for the Canadian reporters. They actually have to do work. American reporters, once you find out the person's Muslim, you can stop. It's what a great job that is. You know, so my goal in writing these articles and going on the media and begging, literally pleading with my friends in the media last week, who I know at CNN and MSNBC, to cover these stories is to undermine the sentiment that I get all not Muslims are terrorists, but all terrorists are Muslim. That's not even factually in the ballpark, and I've written about that. But when all Americans hear is the term terrorist applied to Muslims, they're going to think that is accurate. It is not their fault when the media leads them down this incorrect path. So I blame the media. I don't blame my fellow Americans for not knowing any better when the media does nothing to help them learn the real facts.
Well, Dean, the media coverage of the 2009 mass shooting at Fort Hood in Texas by Nidal Malik Hussein and the coverage of the Boston Marathon bombings where the surviving suspect is Zokhar Tsarnaev, who's in the middle of a trial now. You could argue that in both those cases, there was very likely some severe mental either illness or pressure or doubt involved, but we didn't really see much coverage of that, even if those issues might be raised by the defense lawyers in a trial setting.
Right. I mean, especially with the Fort Hood shooter, if I recall correctly, had a history of mental illnesses, yeah. Even though himself was a doctor. But he had sought treatment, was wrestling with many issues. Mental illness played a big role in that. To what extent, we don't know because it's not really investigated by our media. But the Tsarnaev brothers, it's likely there's mental illness. I don't see a history of them being treated. I haven't seen that in the media. Yeah. With Fort Hood, yes, with Major Hassan, there definitely was. But again, it's almost like if you're a Muslim, you can't be mentally ill. Everything we do is strategic and planned and is dastardly. But if you're, you know, I have mental illnesses just like everyone else. People in our community have mental problems just like anybody else does. And that can be the reason they commit some attack. You know, there's the fact that they view some religious war in their mind going on, perhaps. But that's also a symptom of a mental illness. But I'm not saying ISIS are mentally ill. I think they're calculating people who commit horrific acts in the name of their own faith, which really isn't Islam. It's the name of their own faith, which is power and greed and vanity and ego. That's what their religion is about.
And so, Dean, the incident in Georgia a few days, also in March, which seems to underscore how some people are banking on Americans seeing Muslims as terrorists, is interesting as well. This man essentially planted or tried to plant a couple of bombs at a national park alongside a Quran. And this guy is someone who calls himself a, quote, patriot. Can you tell us a little bit more about this and what it represents?
Sure. Michael Sibley was arrested in Arraigned last week in federal court in Georgia. I'm sure most people haven't heard about it because the mainstream media conveniently ignored it. And I wrote about it and begged people. And MSNBC, one show, did mention it, and at least they mentioned it. He planted a bomb in National Park, two improvised explosive devices, according to the complaint in federal court that he created by reading about him on the internet. In the knapsack with the bombs, he put a Quran. He put a book called The Rape of Kuwait, which has a picture of a Kuwaiti flag. It looks very Middle Eastern. He wrote the name of the backpack owner being a Muslim name, which it's a very simple name. If you Google it, there's many Muslims with that name. I have no doubt he picked that intentionally. He also included a local map with the circle around the Jewish Community Center and a few other soft target places, things that he thought Muslim extremists would target. Put that bomb in the national park there, And luckily, it didn't go off. But the law enforcement came after they found it and detonated it. It was a real bomb. There's no doubt it was a bomb. It exploded when they detonated it to keep it safe from anyone else getting near it. So he wasn't even charged with terrorism. He was charged with attempted destruction of federal property. If anyone was injured or killed, perhaps he would have been charged with terrorism or just charged with mental illness. I'm not sure. The one thing I will say, no one in the media has raised mental illness. This guy clearly wanted to inspire anti-Muslim bigotry. He said he was a patriot to the FBI, wanted to wake up the world to the threat of what's going on around the world, which is really Muslims. And waking up Americans to the threat of Islam is something I see on anti-Muslim websites all the time. That's really one of their normal talking points. To me, this guy was no doubt radicalized by these anti-Muslim websites, radicalized by the likes of Pamela Geller, Robert Spencer, and even right-wing politicians. Again, I spoke to the U.S. Attorney's Office in this case. They wouldn't comment. They wouldn't tell me what he was radicalized on. But their defense is that it's going to trial and this stuff will all come out to the public if he doesn't enter a plea. And if he does enter a plea, then they'll release the information. So as a former lawyer, I can understand that with the U.S. Attorney's Office.
Right. You mentioned Pamela Geller, the rabid Islamophobe. Ayaan Hirsi Ali also has a new book out. So it'll be interesting to see how people take that up.
In the old days, people put white hoods on when they were going to demonize. Now they can go on television and sell books and make profits off hate. They should hold up signs, "We'll hate for food." They really are some of the worst people out there.
Well, I want to thank you so much, Dean Obidallah, for joining us.
Thanks for having me
and
on.
We'll post links to your articles in the Daily Beast about some of these issues later today. Thanks so much.
Thanks very much.
My guest, Dean Obidallah, is an award-winning comedian, co-director of the 2013 film The Muslims Are Coming. He writes regularly for CNN.com and The Daily Beast. This is Uprising. We'll be right back.